So tonight you might look again, read a bit of Job, chapter 11.
And the will of the Lord is to look at the bridal portrait of the song on Tuesday evening. And to make the time to speak on Tuesday morning on the subject Job, the serving man. Meanwhile, Job, chapter 11. And verse 13. If thou prepare thine heart, and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacle. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast, and shalt not be. Because thou shalt forget thy misery, and remember it as water that passeth away. And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be of the morning. Thou shalt be secure because thou art able. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid, and many shall entreat thy faith, the margin says in the Bible, many shall make truth unto thee. But the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the dust. So the Lord again wants to us this evening from his precious work. I want to talk to you tonight about three things essential to salvation, and eight things that we can enjoy in salvation. Three things essential to salvation, and eight things we can enjoy in salvation. First of all, in verse 13, it says, if thou prepare thine heart. As I mentioned this morning, it is very essential that we have a change of heart toward God. Apart from this, then, a sinner never can be saved. It said concerning Jehoshaphat that he prepared his heart to seek God. And this is a very essential thing toward God's salvation. Many years ago, the great artist Strindberg was walking down the street and he saw ahead of him a little girl who was dancing or skipping down the street. He immediately conceived in his mind a painting, a masterpiece, that he would call the dancing Gypsy Girl. And he invited this young lady to his studio and they went to work on the painting. During a recess, she was allowed to go around the studio and she saw a painting that was not quite finished, but it was very obvious what it was. It was a picture of the Lord Jesus hanging upon the cross. In her innocence, she said to Stenberg, sir, he must have been a very wicked man who died such a death. No, 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 said Stenberg, he was the greatest man that ever lived. And he died for the world. She turned to Stenberg, she said, tell me, sir, did he die for you? Well, Stenberg was arrested that day because he had understood that the Lord had died for the world. But the personal challenge brought him to repentance. And he finally got down on his knees and he cried to God for mercy. He had a change of heart and received the Lord Jesus Christ into his heart. He went to finish the painting on the crucifix of Christ. And under the painting he put those words. This I have done for thee, what hast thou done for me? Ultimately, that painting hung in the art gallery in Düsseldorf, in Germany. And passing through the art gallery was a count by the name of Zinzendorf. And he saw the challenge on the painting, this I have done for thee, what hast thou done for me? And he, like Stenberg the artist, fell in love with the Lord Jesus, and was glory to death. He allowed certain persecuted Moravian missionaries to take sanctuary in his cattle, and finally emigrated to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. But all this because of the personal talent. Tell me, sir, did he die for you? There must be a change of heart if we are to receive God's salvation. Then secondly, in verse 13, and The second prerequisite is stretch out thine hands toward it. To stretch out our helpless hands into the outstretched nail-pierced hands of the Lord Jesus is an absolute necessity if you and I are ever to be born into the family of God. Stretch out, helpless, and to heaven. I was at a precious experience with a colleague in the month of September in the city of Pittsburgh. You know, some people get all excited about Pittsburgh because of a football team. But I get excited about Pittsburgh when I meet people with a name who gave a great support in a gospel effort in Denora in the month of September and other born again Christians. Some were invited to the hospital by a gentleman whose friend was very, very sick. In fact, he was dying with cancer. And we approached the hospital and we began to pray. And as we went into the room, there was this gentleman, obviously under a heavy drug, a deep sedation, and finally I got down on my knees and I shook him. I said, Arthur, we've come to talk to you about the Lord Jesus. And he seemed still not to be a true alert. And so finally I mentioned the gentleman's name who requested that we visit the hospital. I said, we've come because we're friends of Ross Ellinger. Oh, he said, he's a good man. And he began to look. And step by step, we asked him to consider the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal case. My colleague said to him, there is a phrase of a poem says, I was a guilty sinner and Jesus died for me. And very clearly, he said, I was a guilty sinner, and Jesus died for me. Came back again into the home. He left that day, and he was transferred to the hospital in Monongahela, and the next day, back into the hospital to see Arthur. He was very alert, and we thanked the Lord. I said, you remember who we are? Oh, yes, he said. Yesterday, I said, I asked you a few questions. I would like to ask you again a few questions. I said, Arthur, tell me, where is the Lord Jesus Christ? Expecting him to say he's in heaven. And he pointed to his heart. The Lord Jesus Christ was in his heart. I said to him, Arthur, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? And as clear as a bell, he says, he's my Lord and my Savior. He stretched out his empty hand to meet the nail-pierced hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. A week later, his final day on earth, his wife said to our friend, why did you always do this? Our friend said, because he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last thing he did was, touching his heart, and he looked up to heaven, he bowed his head, and he was gone. He knew that he must meet the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must break down to meet a searching hand. For I'm sure that the common posture of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here was an outstretched hand. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you that. He was always appealing to the individual to come and receive his rest and his life. If thou stretch out thine hand toward it. How gratifying to know that we can have the security of the hand of Christ. In John 10:28, he says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one will pluck them out of my hand. And my Father which gave them to me is greater than all. And no one will pluck them out of my Father's hand. Brother Boyd Nicholson and I had a very productive gospel campaign in the Northwest Gospel Hall in Grand Rapids, Michigan in the month of June. A lady came into those meetings and she was very despondent, long sad day. And I learned the reason for her despondency. She had four little children from 4 years of age and that. And her husband had just been committed to Jackson maximum security prison in Michigan for a felon.
Oh, she had a reason to be there
and to be discussed.
But that night she remained to talk to us about her soul. And the moment she stretched out her hand to meet his hand, I cannot describe the change in her attitude. Her face was absolutely radiant. She says, I am now in the family of God. And I read this verse with her, and I said, Nancy, you put your name into that verse as you go along. I give unto Nancy eternal life, and Nancy will never pass. It is that wonderful. The next night, she's back in the meeting, and she's all smiles, and says, what are you so happy about? She says, everything. Her husband's in the prison, but I'm happy to tell you, he has gotten saved since. God answers prayer. Oh, it's essential that we realize the power that's in the hand of Christ. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. So the first requirement is to prepare the heart, to confess the sin, and to stretch out our hands toward his hand. Then the third thing that is essential is iniquity must be put away. The scripture says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord. Iniquity must be put away. In those same meetings in Grand Rapids, a lad who called himself the biggest outlaw in the state of Michigan was gloriously sent. Tremendous transformation in his life. He was the lead a cyclist in a motorcycle group called Satan's Escort. He was involved in mugging and robbery. You mentioned that he was in. He was arrested the night previous to his conversion, and he was fined $1,000 and his license suspended indefinitely. And he finally came to the meeting, and God met him in his need. He realized that this life of sin and violence could only lead to destruction. And he finally confessed his sin, and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had almost killed his wife a week or so previously, and she left him, and he didn't know where she was. I said to my colleague on the Friday evening, Saturday evening, let's go down and see him. This is a dangerous night for him. And so we went down to his house, and there was a letter he was just writing. He didn't know where his wife was, but he started the letter, my darling Cindy. And he walked in. And he broke down in tears. He said, if I could only find her to tell her that I am now saved and in the family of God. Well, we spent about 3 days through various channels, and finally, Brother Nicholson and I located his wife and told her about Lee's conversion. She says, that's impossible, he's incorrigible. Well, we said we think there's no a phony friend of he won after much experience. And finally she conceded, and she came and met her husband, and I'm thankful to tell you they're going on for God. Oh, it's a blessed thing to have iniquity put away through the glorious work of the Lord Jesus at the place called Calvary. Believe it, be thankful to God. Now we're told in verse 15, one of the features that we can enjoy in salvation. For thou shalt lift up thy face without spot. This is one of the benefits of God's salvation. We can lift up our face confident and clean. And we can address God and say, Abba, he's no longer a stranger to us. And we can come with boldness to the throne of grace to find mercy and obtain help in time of need. Yes, it's possible to be able to lift up our faith without spot, confidence, and faith. You remember the psalmist said, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed thy transgression from me. So the Lord Jesus Christ, through his redemptive work, is able to take our sins and put them out of me. And the prophet Micah says that he's taken our sins and put them in the depths of the ocean. Not only out of reach, but they are out of sight. That's a blessed thing. But when we come to the epistle to the Hebrews, we seem to reach the acme when God says, "Thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more." Now, my friend, that's something that you cannot do. It's put something out of your memory. If someone does something unsavory to you, I trust you forgive them. But you never forget. But God has the capacity to forgive us of our every sin, and even to put them out of his memory, blessed be his name. He can lift up our faith without spot and address him as our Father. And the second great blessing in God's salvation is that he can be steadfast, ye thou shalt be steadfast. He has taken from the miry clay, and he has established our going. He has put our feet on the solid rock, and he has steadfast, he has saved for time and for eternity. Thank God for Jesus, the solid rock. I remember some years ago, a dear friend of mine was preaching in England, and as he approached the hall, outside there were some hippies or hippies, whatever you want to call them, and he said to my friend, "You folks are old fashioned in that building. You've got no rock and roll. Oh," he said, "I think you're all wrong. Why don't you come in and just listen courteously?" And he said, "I'll tell you something. We do have rock and roll." And so they came in, and they were very courteous, and they listened to his message. And he preached on Christ the solid rock I stand, and when the roll is all of yonder, I'll be there. So they got God's salvation in a nutshell that night, and trust that it had effect upon them into the salvation of at least some soul. Thou shalt be steadfast. As I mentioned this morning, this truly was the experience of Job, the saved man. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the last of days will stand upon the earth, though after my skin will destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Thou shalt be steadfast. Then also we find in verse 15, or rather verse 16, because thou shalt forget thy misery. In our sins, our past is a miserable past. But the moment we come in contact with the Lord Jesus and receive God's salvation, we are able to forget the miserable past. I sometimes get amazed at some men when they give the testimony, and it seems to increase in volume, more embellishments as they travel through the years. I like to see a man who can give me a good testimony now. But Paul was a man who wanted to forget his miserable past. You remember he aided and abetted in murder. He compelled the Christians to blaspheme the name of Christ. He broke up families, put them in prison. Paul had a miserable past. And he summed up the whole thing when he said, "I am the chief of sin." But he was happy to look forward and to forget the past. He says, "What things were gained to me, those I counted but lost, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I do suffer the loss of all things, and do count them but wretched." And then he says, "Forgetting the former things which are behind, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." He was happy to look ahead and to forget his miserable past. This can be experienced all because of the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood. We can forget our miserable past. And in verse 17, "And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday,
thou shalt shine forth.
Not only do we lift up our faith, confident to God, clean cleansed, and be steadfast, and to forget the visible sinful part, but one of the great blessings in God's salvation is that we can be a light, we can shine and be a light to others, to attract others to the Lord Jesus Christ. In my home assembly in Worcester, we have had tremendous blessings this past year. 32 souls have been brought to Christ on Friday evening, 2 nights ago, and the joy of preaching the gospel, and 2 souls were brought to Christ. But it all began with our brethren having an exercise to have a booth in one of the plaza areas in the city. And one of our brethren got together a computer a few years ago, and they used it to attract the people to the booth. Next to our booth was the heart booth, and then I said the soul booth was next to the heart booth. And this particular computer was geared to challenges regarding the Word of God. Come and test your Bible knowledge. Well, a young lad who was attending a Holy Cross College in Worcester, a Jesuit college, being a theological student, thought that he would come and test his Bible knowledge. And he did very well. And he became interested, and finally, one of our brethren suggested he come down to our gospel chapel and listen to the Word of God. And he readily responded, and he came the first Tuesday evening, and the bookmark in his Bible was playing cards. The King of Hearts and a few other of these foolish playing cards, these were his bookmark in his Bible. Well, this lad was gloriously converted. And he went into motion. And he's been a firebrand for God ever since. And the work is continuing, and blessing is our portion, all because of the initial experience of this lad coming out to be a priest. But he told a friend, he says, I'm now a double priest. I'm a holy priest, and I'm a royal priest. But such has been his testimony that he has influenced so many to the gospel and to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. His girlfriend, whom he met, was a nightclub singer, and she got saved, making $600 a week singing in a nightclub. And she got saved, left the nightclub, and she is shining for God, and has gone on and on and on. And we are so thankful to the Lord for this man in particular, who has let his light shine before men. And we have a responsibility to love the Lord Jesus, to influence others to come and enjoy God's salvation. Yes, here is the challenge, thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning. I've spent many, many happy days in the Martin Road Detroit Assembly in Michigan. And in that little assembly, it was then, it's large now, but there was a young girl, a teenager, and the school teacher this day said to her, how come you are different from the other girls in this class? Well, she said, because I'm a born-again Christian. Well, he says, praise the Lord. He says, I also am a born-again believer in Christ. And I go to such and such a church. Now he says, where do you meet? What do you call yourself? Well, she says, there's no real tag. You just simply daughter to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he said, you must have some kind of a name. Well, she said, you can call us brethren, if you will, with a small d. Well, he says, where do you meet Martin Road, Detroit? Well, he said, I'm going to come down to see how you folk function. And he sat at the Lord's Supper in the back row, and he wept. He wept right through the entire meeting, even as he was. The simplicity of gathering to the name of Christ. And as a result, three weeks later, he said to his wife, I cannot continue any longer in this church that we've been raised as children. And 5 families left this certain church, so-called
to identify themselves with the assembly in Martin Road this morning.
All because of the testimony of a teenager. She was letting her life shine for the glory of God. Thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as a mortal.
But also in verse 5, verse 18, the fifth thing that he's going to enjoy is, and thou shalt be secure, because there is hope.
Well, we must conclude today that there is no security in the world. We hear much today about social security, old age security. There's nothing guaranteed whatever. The monetary system today would indicate to us that we just do not know, we have no guarantee of possessing anything tomorrow. But thank God there is security. And that security is in place. And there is hope. So brings the question in this book. He says, man stays a swifter than the weaver's shuttle and a pen without hope. Yet, there is no hope apart from the Lord Jesus. Colonel Robert Ingersoll said, is there beyond the silent night an endless day? Is death a door to life? He cannot say. The tongueless secret locked in faith he cannot know. He opened it. Poor man. He had no hope beyond the grave. And when his brother died, Robert Ingersoll's brother died, there was no one to read the scripture, no one to pray. And all that Robert Ingersoll said on the death of his brother is, life is a barren veil between the four peaks of eternity. We strive in vain to reach beyond the height. The only answer to our call is the echo of our way. We have no hope for eternity. But oh, we are thankful tonight that the Christian can and does have a hope. It is called in the Bible a blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's a blessed hope. It's also a steadfast hope. The Lord Jesus Christ has brought the anchor within the veil and is pulling the ship home. It's a steadfast hope. And it also ought to be a purifying hope. For John says, he that has this hope within him purified himself even as he is here. Oh, we thank the Lord for the security we have in Christ. Sealed by the Spirit of God, given the earnest of the inheritance, and we are a people that have heaven back. There is hope. I wonder, friends, did you possess this hope? We were in Wilmington, Delaware, just a few weeks ago, and the lady passed out of the door, very, very sad, in fact, shedding a few tears. I had the joy of pointing her daughter to Christ in York, Pennsylvania, over a year ago. I said to her, you look disturbed, man. Yes, she says, I'm not sick. Well, I said, I've got good news for you tonight. You can get sick. If you'll only come, God will. It's good to check and test the foundation to see if we are really born again. There is hope. And that hope is only tender in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the sixth thing that we can enjoy is, as believers in Christ, thou shalt take thy rest in safety. There's nothing but strife and turmoil in this world today. Because of sin, we read destruction and misery are in the way and the way of peace. They have not known. But oh, how thankful we are to tell you tonight, if you're not in God's family, that you can have rest. He says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Ah, yes, thou shalt take thy rest in patience. The 23rd Psalm says, I shall rest in the house of the Lord for us. As you know, I work a lot with Brother Boyd Middleton. And as a teenager, trying to sow his wild oats in the city of Glasgow, he was confronted one day with the exit of his old grandfather. He was a man of God, a preacher back in Scotland. And it seemed that his uncle, his grandfather, rather, would live forever. But the day came when he finally stood very, very sick. And it was evident that he was about to die. And he called Brother Boyd into his little room. And he took him by the hand. And the last word he spoke directly into the face of the teacher, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord and God. The young teenager went back to his bedroom, got down on his knees in a little room in a tenement building in Glasgow, and he found the Lord as his personal Savior, and is laboring for him today in the service of his mind. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We are going to rest in faith. Oh yes, the poet says, oh saints, be careful for, and know it's heaven. To clasp a hand, and know it's God's hand. To breathe through air, and that's celestial air. To feel invigorated, and know it's immortality. Oh saints, the storm and tempest pass. To wait, and find it low. There is a rest for the people of God. Then, as Christians, the seventh thing that we can enjoy is none shall make thee afraid. We are living, as you know, in a day of increased satanical activity. The occult, astrology, demonology on the increase everywhere. In the high school where my boy graduated 5 years ago, they're already now teaching classes on the occult. They're trying to equal time for the Word of God and the instruction. But oh, how thankful that in spite of this evil, wicked day, as far as the Christian is concerned, none shall make thee afraid. Paul writes into the saints of Romans chapter 8, he tells the Christian that all things are controlled. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things are controlled. And he says, all things are confirmed. God that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things are confirmed. But thank God that all things are not only controlled and confirmed, but all things are controlled. He is in complete control of everything that is going on. So Paul says, shall anything separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, nakedness, famine, peril, sword, and so on? Knowing that all these things we are more than conquerors. And I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature, shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. None shall make the effect. Satan and his cohorts are kept at bay because of the power of the omnipotent Christ. Then in verse 19, and the eighth thing that we can enjoy is many shall entreat thy thing. I pointed a family to Christ in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Five in the family who are following the Jehovah Witness team. Wonderful thing to see them brought into the family of God. The very next night, a young lady came to the meeting, and she said, Mr. Doodle, I want to get what the Dales, that was the family, have got. They were attracted because of the transformation in their life. And remember when the bride in the Song of Solomon gave that lovely description of our beloved, the daughters of Jerusalem said, whither is thy beloved God, that we may keep it with him. So there are three things that we can enjoy in salvation, three things essential to salvation, and eight things
that we can enjoy in salvation. But please notice verse 20. If we reject God's salvation, but the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and therefore shall be as the giving up of the gods. Notice there is no light for those that reject God's Son. There is no hope, and there is no escape. Oh, these are tremendous things. Delusion leads to despair, and finally, destruction. Beloved friend, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, remember this. If you reject God's Son, you will be a Christ. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the only begotten Son of God. So if you are not saved, why not tonight give your heart to the Lord Jesus? And those of us who are saved, let's stir up within our hearts the desire to spread abroad the Savior's name and encourage others to come to the Lord Jesus. Please be so for the same sake. Again, O Father, we thank thee for these things that we have looked into in the book of Job. And we bless thee again for the possibility of being brought into the family of God. To as many as receive him, to them give thee the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Lord, we cry to you this evening, if there be one unsaved, bring them into the family before it be too late. These things we ask in the Savior's name and for his glory.